6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
Welcome in, happy MLK Day, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, and we are actually recording this at FanFest on Sunday, and we are joined by Mr. Kerry Buvolt. Kerry, what a great turnout here, a great festivity. I mean, did you ever envision this when the Golden Knights, when the thought first came to bring hockey here to Vegas? I know everybody had big aspirations, but it seems like this team has exceeded everything.
Well, certainly it started on the ice with how they've been able to exceed the expectations there. We knew we were going to have great crowds every night. The market had already stepped up and bought tickets, but the depth at which the team is connecting with the fan base here is something unlike anything I've ever seen. Again, we've got people from all over who have come to Las Vegas to make this their new home. And this is really an interesting thing, but I'm just seeing how it's connecting a community of transplants in a very unique and very powerful way. And we're incredibly proud to be associated with it.
And, you know, it was interesting, too, because I know you kind of opened the festivities here at the 3rd Street stage. What was it feeling like up there? I could feel back here the energy coming towards you in that. It's just incredible how this community's taken over. Whether they're season ticket holders or people that can't go to every game, everybody loves this team, and it seems like the team loves them just as much.
Well, that's right. And I think there's probably 15 or 20,000 people who are here today, and I know that our players, I'm anxious just to kind of hear from a few of them, more so just that we didn't tell them what to expect with the event today. We kind of gave them, you know, a roadmap on what they're going to do with the red carpet, et cetera, but I don't think they had any idea that this was going to be kind of a turnout, and I'm hoping that they're pleasantly surprised and they can walk away just knowing that their hard work is paying off in a very powerful way for this community.
When you look at the product on the ice, I think everyone would agree maybe a little bit ahead of schedule from where you had anticipated or dreamed. When you look at the fan experience, at the way the communities come together, at all of the external non-ice things, are you ahead of schedule as well?
Well, I mean, every single game we take time and we analyze the show off the ice, much like the guys do when they watch film about their on-ice performance. So we do that. We want to get better every single game. We think we've got a terrific team. But the one thing that you can't put an expectation on is just how the fans have reacted to what we're doing. And the fans in Las Vegas, they are so into it. They bring it every night. They're loud. They don't mind cheering. And, again, we've been around to a lot of other NHL buildings with some very good teams around the league. And the fans here, they bring it every night. It's just so much fun to be a part of.
You know, it's interesting because everybody thought at the start of the season they could be competitive, then the trade deadline would come up and there'd be a lot of changes. How much has the game plan changed a little bit with the success of this team, or is that still just you're playing it by ear as it comes along? Because this kind of magic only happens so often. You can't just assume like, well, we'll win a cup down the road here. If you got a chance now, I would assume you got to go for it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of magic that's happening. And, you know, just following Coach Gallant with, hey, they're just focused on the next game. But make no mistake, Mr. Foley, George McPhee, every single day they're spending every hour just thinking about how do we get better and keep this thing going. And it's just fun, like I said, just to be a part of. It's this city is just so incredible.
With the first half of the season over, now they have 10 road games out of the next 12 games. That will probably say a lot about this team, but what do you see happening in the second half of the season? Because I see no reason for a letdown with this team, because bottom line is you can't use the Vegas flu, you can't use teams coming to Vegas anymore. It's time for everybody to just admit this is a pretty darn good hockey team.
Yeah, and again, I'm not the hockey expert here, but I do read a lot from other experts around the country, and what they say is that the team is actually getting a lot better. And there's a lot of very interesting statistics out there that speak to how the team is improving. And it's just truly amazing. Again, all the credit goes to George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon, our entire hockey operations group, and Bill Foley. They did a magical job going back to the expansion draft, of finding guys that fit the system that they wanted to play. And then more importantly, just great people, great character guys. And again, coming from the NBA, I'm just so proud to be associated with the National Hockey League and what's happening here.
Now, we know you're extremely busy. We appreciate a few minutes here with you. Fans, get out to City National Arena, watch the team practice. Get out to the Armory and the Arsenal, get the jerseys and everything. I know they're flying off the shelves, but one of the things that they did was, like you said, surrounded themselves with quality people. You are one of those people, my friend, and we're just so happy to be part of this here with the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, and look forward to the second half ride and then hopefully beyond that, although I know the team doesn't want to talk about it.
That's right. And again, we appreciate the partnership. You guys are a great vehicle for us to help tell this great story. And each and every night, people are tuning in from all over Las Vegas listening to the team. So thanks for the relationship. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Harry Bubo's there, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, back with a lot more. It's a very special holiday here in Vegas.
Your home for everything hockey with the Vegas Golden Knights. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton here with you. A special Martin Luther King holiday. Now, it's a Lotus holiday, but we are still doing kind of a best of show because this is the best of Fan Fest from yesterday and certainly one of the best players on the Vegas Golden Knights, one of the best lines in the entire NHL joining us right now, Mr. Riley Smith. Riley, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure here. The first half of the season, you guys just wrapped it up. You got off your bye week and everything. When you first came here and you saw the roster and everything, did you ever envision the success that this team has had up to this point? I know a lot of people thought you guys would be competitive. I don't know that anybody saw this.
Yeah, it's tough to have such a good first half of the season. I think, being able to put up 60 points in 41 games, the stars really have to align for that. So it's not even just, the people you have in your roster. It's how a whole team gels, and I think that's something that shocked everyone is how quickly it seemed like since day one in the first couple weeks that people were here in training camp that this team came together and came together really quickly, and so far it's been something special.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, one of the things that's really come together is your line with Carlson and, of course, Jonathan Marchessault. You guys are one of the most electric lines in the entire league. How do you explain that chemistry getting together so quick? Because you guys look like you've played together for years.
Yeah, it was been phenomenal. It seemed like we gelled since day one. Both of them are great players, have innate offensive instincts, and it definitely helps me. But I think as a whole line, we work together really well, and I think when we're having our most success is when we're playing hard and making other teams turn around and go get pucks and really put them on their heels and trying to defend us.
As good as you are right now, as the season goes along, it seems like you've gotten even more comfortable and better. How good can this line be potentially?
Well, the goal for our team is to get better every game, and I think we've done a good job progressing so far. It seems like we're being matched up against other teams' top lines or top D pairs, and you like to have that. You like to have that added competition. So it's been great, but, as a team, not just our line, we want to get better every game. I think we've jumped leaps and bounds since the first couple weeks of the start of the season, and our aim is that we keep on getting better to the end.
Well, we truly appreciate the time. What's it like down here at FanFest? Did you ever see this? I know this was supposed to happen down in October before the season started, but it seems like the energy is even that much more amped up now that the team and the community have really come together like they have.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's probably 10 times more people than there would have been at the start of the season. So it was great that it got to be postponed a little bit, but we got to do it today. The fan support is unbelievable. To have, just the enthusiasm, not even just the numbers of people, but the enthusiasm has been unbelievable. They really do care about this team, and they really want to back this franchise.
A lot of people pointing to the road trip coming up, 4 games on 2 at home, then another 6, so 10 of the next 12 on the road. Does that mean anything, or is it just a better chance for the team to bond even that much more?
We've had great success at home. There's no surprise to that. I think our record shows that. But we have been better on the road, the past couple road trips. So we want to play with the same enthusiasm, the same energy we do at home, and it's another good test for us.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Riley. And good luck on the trip, and look forward to seeing you guys back at T-Mobile on the 23rd.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Riley Smith there with us here. Now, joining us right now, we're just going to go rapid fire here because Braden McNabb and Colin Miller, two of the defensive stars of the team, joining us as well. And, guys, thanks for making some time to join us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure. Love watching you guys play together. Now, I know we talked to some of the players on the team, Braden, and one of the things when we talked to Alex Tuck, we asked him if you were allowed to hit guys in practice, because he said nothing scares him in the NHL except for when he sees you lining somebody up. What's that like? Because, I mean, you do hit people, but you do it clean, you do it the right way, and you do it to send a message. And I know when you do it at T-Mobile, the entire crowd, you can tell, like, if you're by the snack bar or something like that, you know you just missed something because the entire building just lights up with electricity.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, I've been good at, you know, ever since I've been little is, you know, being able to read the play and pick in the right times to step up and make the hit. You know, I think earlier in my career I maybe tried to do a little too much and got burned, but, you know, you learn that over time. And, you know, if I have a chance to pop someone, I'm going to do it.
And, Colin, I know if I was playing against you, the one thing I would not want to do, but unfortunately it would probably be my job, is maybe have to stand in front of your shot and block it, because when I see you tee it up, there's times when I almost feel sorry for the person blocking your shot. I don't know if I feel more sorry for the guy standing in front of your shot or the guy that's about to get lit up by Braden here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just obviously it's something you try to work on a lot, like Braden was saying, from a young age. And you just try to work on getting it through. Now that's a big important part of the game, you know, is just getting pucks through. So if there's time for the big shot, then it's good to let it go. But, yeah, most of the time it's just about getting it on net.
Playing defense for both of you guys out there and in front of so many different goalies, a lot of people thought when this season started that the team would be competitive. Marc-Andre Fleury was good enough to keep them in some games. Then, of course, Flower goes down with the injury, but the team seemed to come together even that much more, and now that he's part of it again, you're that much more confident, you're that much better. Has that actually maybe helped the defensive pairings and everything come together a little bit more, playing in front of some of the younger goalies and maybe knowing that you were responsible for even a little bit more?
Go ahead.
I think so. I think you know Flower's a world-class goalie, and you know, Subs and everyone else who stepped up, they did a phenomenal job. You know, they kept us in games, they made saves throughout, you know, that whole span. That was unbelievable. So, you know, you gotta give them a lot of credit. They gave us a chance to win. But, I mean, our mentality each game is, you know, we don't want to give up anything, but it's good to know we have depth in the organization, and it doesn't really matter who's out there. We just go out and play our game and play a strong defensive game and know we got a good anchor back there.
And, of course, part of that depth is both of you guys on the team. In fact, it's hard to make the lineup for some of the guys. You have guys like John Merrill and Brad Hunt who have to sit out occasionally. Lucas Pisa injured now, but you have that depth that can fill in when somebody is out of a game. But, Braden, with your situation, when you were signed the contract extension and that, what did that mean to you on a personal level? And also just as far as knowing that you're going to be part of this team and community for quite a while down the road here, because the team said, look, we really believe in you and we want you part of this team. That had to feel good.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, when a team believes in you and wants you to stick around, it's a great feeling. And, you know, I was happy. I was really excited that they wanted to. And it's been nothing but amazing ever since day one, you know, from the top down. So it's been a lot of fun, and I'm very grateful that I'll be here for another 4 years.
And Colin, what's your experience been like so far with the team and the community? Because it seems like a lot of people, when they first came here, they had preconceived ideas of Vegas. It's the Strip, it's real world, it's this, that, whatever. But now that you see the community and you're really part of it, it seems like George McPhee is going to have a lot of guys that are going to say, you know what, I want to hang around here a little bit. And I would imagine that you're like a lot of those guys here. There's something magical happening right now on the ice.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, quickly becoming an attractive place to play. I think a lot of the guys coming in, you know, didn't really know what to expect with being in Vegas. I know myself, I'd never been to Vegas before. So you don't really realize, you know, how much of a community there is kind of outside the Strip. And yeah, it's warm weather and stuff like that, so you can't really complain.
Yeah, you probably couldn't be doing this fan fest up back in Boston or Buffalo or any place else right now. Maybe in L.A.
Yeah, but I don't think the turnout would be quite like this.
Yeah, so, guys, thanks a lot. We really appreciate the time. Any thoughts on the road trip coming up here? Because you do have 10 of the next 12 on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be obviously a tough stretch, but I think, you know, as the year goes on, it just gets harder and harder. You know, I think the games get more important, and you just got to be prepared and take it game by game. But, you know, our road record's coming along there, like Riley was saying, so it should be fun.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate the time. Good luck on the road, and we look forward to seeing you back at T-Mobile and, of course, over at City National.
Thanks. Thanks for having
us. Thanks a lot. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show just continue rolling along here. And one of our favorite guys on the team, we talk to him frequently. We talked to him before the other game. Gave us a little bit of scare the other night in the Edmonton game, taking a puck up high, and everybody was worried. I noticed the air kind of came out of T-Mobile Arena for a minute, but Pierre-Edouard Belmiro joins us, and thanks for stopping by. How you
thanks
doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, a fan fest. I know that you guys talked about it, and we've talked to a couple of other guys about it. Originally slated for October 2nd, unfortunately, the events happened in Vegas then, which really seemed to kind of bond the team and the community and everything that much quicker. But actually coming at this time of the year now, first off, it's nice that you can do something like this in January here in Vegas. And then I imagine it's even bigger and better than it was. But did you imagine the outpouring that you guys have here?
Absolutely not. I mean, I knew that people were eager to see a hockey team, and they were excited about the first, you know, like professional athletes here, but nowhere near that. I mean, this is unbelievable. Every moment of it was unbearable.
Well, and you know, the thing about it too that amazes me is this is on an NFL playoff Sunday.
I know. This is good. This is a good sign.
It's a great sign. And another good sign is you being back in the lineup. And you know, like I say, you took the puck last night. You missed a couple minutes. You came right back because you're a hockey player and you guys are all tough. We know that. But you missed a couple games earlier, but that's because you had a new addition to the family.
Absolutely.
How's the family doing?
Leander is doing unbelievable. Hannah, my wife, has done an unbelievable job. And to be honest, we're just starting in the parenthood, and it's great. We love it, both of us. And I mean, this is like the best achievement we both ever made.
Now I have to ask you: is Leander is he just automatically?
Leander.
Oh, Leander. I'm sorry. Is he automatically going to be like trilingual or something with all your guys?
Well, we are. So when I'm by myself, I'm talking in French, and then when my wife is by herself, she's talking in Swedish with him, and then when we're together, we talk in English. So the goal would be to him being trilingual at one point, but I know before that it's going to be a lot of mismatch language, but that's okay. We both speak three languages, so we're fine.
Yeah, wow. I mean, what a great thing, and you're the first official father.
Yeah, it is.
On the Golden Knights, because you have the first baby born on the team. What has this community and everything meant to you, that now that you see it and everything around you and that? And, you know, a lot of people that don't know Las Vegas would say, well, I wouldn't want to raise a family there. You know, it's this, it's that and everything.
I was like this. I was thinking about it, like, right before they were talking about a Vegas team, I was thinking about how can you have people living in Vegas, because 95% of the world don't know what Vegas is about. And they all think it's just about one gigantic street where it's a lot of parties, but technically it's so much more than that. And the community is unbelievable. There is so more convenient thing in Las Vegas with traffics and like affordable living and everything, and it's a great place to live. The weather, we're in January here and we're enjoying in t-shirts. I mean, it's unbelievable. So much more than what I was expecting, and so much better.
Well, and the team is so much more than most people thought it was going to be. You're one of the big reasons for that success.
Thank you.
What would you when you get the assignments, whether you're killing a penalty or playing 5-on-5 or whatever, I mean, you're a big part of everything. Is the fact that you can kind of do anything they ask you to do, how much of an asset is that to the team and also just to your career?
I don't know if I can do anything they ask me to do, but like, they give me an assignment, and the only thing I can do is go out there and like try to do my best. I'm not thinking about doing any mistakes. I'm just thinking about, all right, the team needs that, do it the best of your capabilities. And you know what, if I make a mistake by trying 120%, then I made a mistake and I have to learn from it. So it's been what it's been. My entire career has been that: try to learn and try to understand what the coach needs from me to be able to give what they want and try to be better. And I mean, now I'm in Vegas playing hockey. 11 years ago I was playing in the second league in Sweden as a 14th forward. I mean, and all of it is because I've had a coach that helped me, people have helped me, my wife beside, and all of that. So the only thing you can do is I try to take every day as the last one, and I think that's why it's been working okay.
Well, I know the community loves this entire team, but you have certainly become one of the fan favorites with very good reason. You do whatever they ask you to. Like you said, you block the shots. You're part of the penalty kills. You're an asset on offense, whatever you are. You're also a first-rate person, and we appreciate that.
Thank
I know
you
when
so
Bill
much.
Foley said that he was going to build his team, it wasn't just about the quality on the ice. It was off the ice. You're a shining example of that,
Thank
and Vegas
so
is so much richer to have you around. And I appreciate watching you at the practice facility and in the games and everything else. And I'm glad that the eye is okay from the puck last night, the other night, because that was a scary moment.
It was a scary moment, but, I mean, it's hockey, right? Sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it, that I wasn't expecting to take a puck in the face. But, I mean, I have great people helping us in the locker room. The medical room is unbelievable. So staff helped me quick, and I was back on the ice as fast as possible.
Real quick, 10 of the next 12 on the road. Is that something that you guys are going, boy, this is going to be tough, or are you going, it's just that much more of a chance to bond that much closer together?
Until you just told me, I had no idea we had 10 on the next one, like 12. Like, to be honest, it's the next game. That's all that matters. That's why we've been a pretty good team, is because we've been focusing on the next game. So next game and nothing about anything else.
So every team says it, but on this team it's not a cliche.
It has to. Otherwise, you can't succeed. It's an 82-season-long game, and if you start thinking about the number 82, you won't win the number one.
All right. Well, very, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank
Enjoy
you so
the
much.
Rest of your day, and
appreciate
it. Take care of that family.
I will. Thank you so All much. Right. Appreciate it.
Your son's already smarter than I am.
Right now, he's only focusing on three things. I'm not going to mention them, but that's all he's thinking about. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Here, Eduard Bellemare there with us, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, special show here for MLK Holiday. And we're going to step aside when we come back. We got Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty standing by. Lots more to come here live from FanFest. It's a special MLK show. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. You're home for the Golden Knights on the radio, but, of course, on the television. Well, you know these gentlemen here. I got to tell you, the only thing I enjoy sometimes about not having the home games is we get to go on remotes and that, and I get to hear these gentlemen call the games because they do an outstanding job. Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty joining us. Guys, how you doing?
We're doing fantastic.
Good.
What a day.
It's been unbelievable. We appreciate the kind words. You've had a couple of drinks, haven't you?
Actually, believe it or not, I don't know. My problem is Coca-Cola.
We all have our vices, Frank.
Down here at FanFest, obviously we're taping this the day before we're airing this here, but what an event this has been. And I was excited when it was first announced before the season started October 2nd. Then, unfortunately, the events that happened in the city changed everything around. It was postponed. But I got to tell you, in a lot of ways, it seems like something fate-wise, you know, talking about making lemonade out of lemons and that, horrific event there, but the team, the community, everything else bandied together, and this is even bigger and better than it would have been back then. And you guys emceeing it, what was the electricity like on that stage?
It's unbelievable. You know, we looked out, and there were people, I swear, as far as we could see, right? It just seemed like it kept growing and growing and growing. And, you know, we were lucky enough, we kind of took a little walk down the red carpet. And, you know, I never think, well, you know, we're just the dudes that do the games on TV. And, you know, people wanted to talk to us and visit with us. I mean, it's been unbelievable, Frank. I mean, I'm with you. Look, a horrendous event, obviously October 1st, but I think in a lot of ways maybe that galvanized everything, team around the community and vice versa, you know. And then you have a first half like they had, and you couldn't script it any better than how it's gone here for the first, you know, 41, 42 games.
Well, it has, and it's been exactly what Dave said, and I think you're right, Frank. To have the FanFest now, I think, means so much more because they know their team. They know their players. At the beginning of the year, they didn't know who they're going to cheer for. Now there's people that, you know, James Neal or Marc-Andre Fleury or Jonathan Marshall, William Carlson, whoever it is, they all have their favorites now. So this FanFest has more meaning that they're familiar with their team. They're connected with their team, and I think it's a big reason there was a turnout there was. And I wasn't lying when I went on stage and I said, next to the Stanley Cup thing, I don't think I've seen anything like this for a team. Obviously, the Stanley Cup deserves the grand, you know, appeal that it has and everything. But this, for just a regular fan fest, it was tremendous.
I don't know. I asked a couple of people, you know, what do you think? How big's the turnout? Somebody told me 5,000. I said, I believe it. I believe it. I mean, you know, and we kind of joked around on stage, like, can you imagine? And look, there's a long way to go, but could you imagine a Stanley Cup parade here? It would be, you know, you could have it go wherever you want. Come down to Fremont Street, go down Las Vegas Boulevard. I mean, it's okay to dream, but the way they played, it's hard not to give that a little bit of thought anyway.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I remember at the start of the season when we were talking to Marc-Andre Fleury at the Armory right after the expansion draft, and we had mentioned to him that Bill Foley said, playoffs in three, cup in one. And his response was, why wait so long? And we all kind of looked like, well, that's a nice thought and sentiment, but no one thought it was realistic. And now you see hashtag cup in one and that sort of stuff there. By the way, of an event like this happening in January, other free agents maybe down the road, and we love everybody on the team right now, but there will be changes in professional sports. I would imagine a free agent right now looking at, well, they're in Vegas. These guys tell me how much they love the thing. And they're doing what? Outdoors in January?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. the word has spread long before now. This just it starts off with the way the organization is run. That word is spread. The facilities, City National Arena, T-Mobile, the atmosphere, the whole setting that leads into a game, that has already been spread. And then just this team winning games is the other selling point, which is usually the big one. There is a check box, you know, everything's checked in the box that the appeal for this team. And the league is now, there's a big recruiting process to it and an attraction to certain areas. And Vegas has it in every category.
You know, Shane would know this better than anybody, right? All players talk, right? You're on a team and you're hitting free agency potentially, and all the players compare notes. You know, is it well run? What's the quality of life? What's the climate?
Coaching. Which is loved.
How well are the players taken care of from an organizational standpoint? And, you know, to Shane's point, all those boxes are checked off. So... for it to work out the way it has here has just been beyond anyone's comprehension, I think. But it's been phenomenal just to kind of, on a nightly basis, watch this team play and how hard they play. And they're in it. They're in every game. They might not win every game, but they're in all of them.
Well, and it certainly doesn't hurt either when you have something like Nevada with no state income tax. And I know there's other states that have that as well. There's some other teams that have that. But John Gruden just signed a 10-year contract with the Raiders. He said, I want this thing backloaded for my years I'm going to spend in Vegas. Yeah. You know, I can't relate to the kind of numbers that some of these guys make or whatever, but $1 million here is more than $1 million in most other cities. Even my paltry 10 grand or whatever is more.
And Shane can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, players are aware, their agents are certainly aware of that, and it's another one of those things in the box that's checked off.
What do you guys see happening in the second half here? Because everybody's already talking playoffs with the exception of Coach Gerard Gallant and the team and that. And I understand they're taking it one game at a time. They have 10 of their next 12 on the road. So they're focused on what they should be. It's not just a cliche. They really mean it. But the entire community and everybody else is talking playoffs already. And playoffs are a different animal. And you guys both know that President's Cups are nice to win, but they don't mean anything. Ask the Capitol fans, ask the Shark fans, ask some other teams out there. How is this team set up for the playoffs? We know they're a really good regular season team, but sometimes playoffs where the refs swallow their whistle a little bit more, maybe a little bit more physical, this, that, and the other thing. Because to me, this looks like one of those teams that can be good in both aspects of it.
Well, I look at it. There's 2 points I look at it a season that are coming up. The All-Star break. It hits another level. And then obviously get to the trade deadline and what their decisions are made here with the Golden Knights to go forward. Then another level goes. Everything starts to crank up as teams get ready. They try to hit their prime for the playoffs. The Golden Knights, the way they're set up now is really intriguing to me because, yeah, there's those big teams. You're going to have LA that's going to try and wear you down over a series. You start thinking about in a series, how can you do it? I think the Golden Knights are a team with their relentless pursuit and quickness can wear you down in another way. And I think we've seen that with the Pittsburgh Penguins over the last couple of years, winning the Stanley Cup, kind of being built and following that model. But you also have to have depth. What did the Penguins have? They had 2 goaltenders. Well, you've got Subban and Fleury. You've got Dansk. You've got Legacy.
Got a lot.
You got a lot there. So, and then you need depth up front. They have it, and I'm sure they'll add to it in all areas. But I'm interested to see how they turn it around and how they play then after the All-Star break and after the trade deadline are to be 2 areas I'm going
to
watch.
And I, you know, just to Shane's point too, Frank, I think their depth is what puts them ahead of a lot of teams. You know, when you get into, you know, we've both been around long enough to see teams win it, almost win it, make deep runs. In a long playoff season, that depth has to show through because what happens is guys are going to get hurt, right? It's you're playing every other night at a ridiculously intense level, and you need your depth to pull you through. And this team has as much depth as any team in the league. They've already gone into, what, 8 or 9 different defensemen. The goaltending's been well documented. But the pace they play, you know, Pittsburgh, I think they phrased it, they played like at an uncomfortably high pace.
Yeah.
Hard to keep up with if you're an opponent. And the Golden Knights do that. You know, they haven't played every team, but there's a few teams in the East they haven't played, and I think Calgary in the West. But they've played pretty much everybody. And they're as quick and as fast as any team in the league.
Truly appreciate the time. Love listening to you guys do the play-by-play. I got one other quick question I got to ask you because it seems to be the question everybody else is asking. George McPhee and his job right now, are they buyers? Are they sellers? Does he stay pat? Does he stay with the plan 5 or 6 years down the road? Is he changing it? And these are all things that he knows and he has his game plan and he's going to do what he do. But this is a magical thing happening right in front of our eyes. So I would imagine that there's some changes in place there. But if they were to try to add a piece or do something like that, where would they even look at that right now? Because I don't think they necessarily need a superstar. Maybe a third or fourth line guy that can win crucial faceoffs down the end or something. But even that, they've got some guys pretty good at it. I don't know. What do they make changes? Because I don't know if you mess with this chemistry.
And that's the tricky part. What do you bring in? There's something here you don't want to change. But that said, I think this organization, one thing, the management has done a great job evaluating and bringing in the right people. And there's going to be no knee-jerk decisions. They'll make sure if there's something available they think that can add to this team, they'll bring it in. I think they feel comfortable with what they have. It'll be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to bring another top 9 forward in if they can, if available. And you can never have too many depth defensemen, although they already kind of have that here in Chicago.
I'd like to see them add some of that depth up front, somebody in the top 9. You know, I think in a playoff series, sometimes those top 2 lines cancel each other out. So how good are those? You know, Shane was on a team in Boston. The depth, the team that won it almost 7 years ago now, hard to believe, was as good as any team in the league. So, yeah, so in answer to your question, Frank, yeah, it's inconceivable to me they would not be buyers. You know, this has been unbelievable. And let's say in 2 months, maybe they're not first in the West, but they're in the top 3 or 4.
Right.
How do you not try and add to this team? You know, they had a great draft last year with Glass and Suzuki and Branstrom, the first rounders. They're all high on all of those guys. You know, they've got a first-round pick, but if they go deep in the playoffs, that pick could be 29th, 30th. Heaven forbid it's 31st. So I think they try and add to it. They're going to have the cap space to do it. They've got some contracts coming off the books in the offseason. So, yeah, I think opportunities like this don't come around very often to have a team to maybe be able to go and make a deep run. So I think they definitely try to add to it.
All right, guys. Well, have a good time on the road. We look forward to seeing you back the 23rd and 25th over at T-Mobile. And then, of course, 6 more on the road. So you guys are about to become Hawk and Animal here, the Road Warriors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't hear many Hawk and Animal references anymore. That's great. The Road Warriors.
But looking forward to it. Love watching the broadcast and magical season. Let's keep it rolling, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Thanks a lot. Two of the best guys you're ever going to hear. Check out the TV. Even if you listen to the radio broadcast because you're driving around or something like that, get home, watch the replay on AT&T Sports. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty do a tremendous job. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're going to be back right after this. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton here with you on a special Martin Luther King holiday. We're actually recording this live from Fan Fest down here. This was Sunday yesterday downtown, but it was such a great event. We got so many good people stopping by, so, you know, we wanted to get them on and do a little best of type show here, but joining us right now, a gentleman who, well, one of the people that made everything responsible here with the Golden Knights coming to town, with the City National Arena, an absolutely incredible facility, Mr. Steve Sisolak joining us. Steve, thanks for making time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. It's exciting to be down here today.
Now, certainly, as one of the people on the Board of Commissioners and doing everything that you guys do, there's probably a lot of background work and everything that people don't realize that it takes to not only bring the NHL to town, but for City National Arena and everything else. What was the biggest challenge in something like that? Because it seems like Mr. Foley and the organization that have just been really a pleasure to work with and willing to do whatever it takes.
Bill and his team have been absolutely tremendous. I got to talk to him a little while, and I think back to when Commissioner Bettman and I sat down and talked, and he said there's no way that Bill's going to be able to sell those 10,000 seats. And I said, oh, hey, well, this community's behind him. And I bought the first 2 tickets, and it just took off from there. And every time I see Gary, we'll make a joke since then. You know, it's just what Bill has done for this community after we had the terrible tragedy on 1 October. He had that incredible first game at T-Mobile that just pulled this entire community together. And honoring those survivors and first responders was such a classy thing to do. And the community's fallen in love with the Golden Knights and Bill Foley. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Well, and you mentioned that opening night at T-Mobile Arena with the community coming together after the two road games and winning those as well, the emotional night in Dallas and coming back from behind, beating Arizona, who I think the NHL wants to be the team's rival, but I still have a feeling it's going to be L.A. because everybody wants to beat L.A. all the time. But not only the events that happened and all the festivities and the electricity in the air that night, but then Derek England, a guy who had stated, whether I'm a Golden Knight or not, Vegas is going to be my home, with the heartfelt speech and everything that he did beforehand. It seemed like a magical night. It seemed like those three opening nights, the two road games and that, really propelled us and kind of showed us that we might be in for something special, but I don't know that anybody saw it being this magical.
I don't think anybody saw it being this magical in terms of record of this kind of a season, but I tell you what, the way they have embraced this community and become part of this community, I mean, we ask them, you don't have to ask. They've been at every fire station and police station. They're at the hospitals when we ask them for. They've had some Make-A-Wish kids go out there. They've been working with Opportunity Village. Anytime there's a charitable cause or something where they can step up, they're there. They're in the parade, you know, the Martin Luther King parade. I mean, they're just everywhere. They just have embraced this community, and the community's embraced them twice back. So it's been terrific.
You know, you mentioned the blood banks and the first responder things and the hospitals they went to and that. I've been a blood donor for years and years. I give platelets, so I'm a gold member and everything. And I'm not saying it to toot my own horn. I'm saying basically I think everybody should do that. It's great the way this community came out, but this community, they donate blood and do that kind of stuff anyhow. But for the first time in all the years I've been doing that out here, I couldn't get into the blood bank. Yeah. I had to make a U-turn, couldn't make an appointment to do it at the time, so I made it for down the road a little bit. But we brought some water and things like that. But just the outpouring that was there and to see the players and the community and everything come together, it was just something. I thought the biggest problem that this team might have before the season started was chemistry, and it seemed like that just made everything fuse together that much quicker and just accelerated the whole process. And wow, what this community thinks of the team and what the team thinks of the community, guess what? It seems like every one of them have found out Vegas isn't real world on MTV or the strip that we see all the time. It is a community, and it is Vegas strong.
And I got to make that point. I was, when we had the one October, I did interviews with stations all over the world, and I told them Las Vegas is not that 4 miles of neon on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's when you get off there, it's the neighborhoods, it's the families, it's the schools, it's the parks, it's the churches, it's the synagogues, it's those sort of things. But Bill has just immersed himself in this community. I mean, he goes out of his way to be a part of this. I mean, you can't say enough about how much they have meant to this community, and the community has absolutely fallen in love. I mean, I don't think anybody expected this much, frankly. I think that there was always going to be a synergy, but nobody expected this kind of a record, that they would be. And it's the most enthusiastic, the atmosphere that's in the T-Mobile in those games, just it's contagious. It's really exciting.
Now, what about your stomping grounds around the community, up in the Summerlin area and that, with City National Arena? The 51s are building their stadium there. This, the downtown Summerlin Mall. I mean, Summerlin's really becoming the hub. I know this is downtown Las Vegas that we're here for the Fan Fest. Yeah. Summerlin's becoming like the sports hub and the place to be.
Oh, Summerlin, if you're a sports fan, it doesn't get any better than Summerlin. I mean, you're right, with the going to be breaking ground on the new 51 stadium in the next couple of weeks. At City National, you are not going to find a better practice facility. And for those folks and families that don't have tickets or everybody can't afford to get the tickets, go down to City National. Call, see when they're on the ice practicing, and you're not going to have more fun than you have at a Vegas Knights practice facility. It's just, you know, when you see one of those practice sessions and you see those kids out there and they take the time to sign autographs and talk to the young folks, and it's just absolutely terrific. We could not ask for a better partner than we have.
And I'll tell you what, it's been crazy up to this point here. I can't even imagine what the playoffs are going to be like.
Getting better. Better and better and better. Exciting. It's a great, like I say, no better place to live right now if you're a sports fan than in Las Vegas.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for everything
that you've done.
And we look forward to having you on down the road again here a little bit. And go Knights, go.
Go Knights, go. You got it.
All right, thank you very
much. Appreciate it.
Steve Sisolak there with us, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Tell you what, he's one of the guys behind the scenes that made everything available, made all this happen. The magical season continues. We'll continue to talk about it with the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, next.
Your home for everything hockey with the Vegas Golden Knights. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. You're home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton. It's been a busy Sunday down here at FanFest. If you were down here, you know what a great time everything has been. If you weren't here, well, we hope that we've brought you some of that joy today. I know one person here brings joy every single game. Clayton?
Yeah, I've been running around, so I've been absent for a majority of today's broadcast, but I've been running around trying to find fun people to talk to. And always having fun. Always love talking to Dan Duva. I finally ran into him. I don't know where he's been all day. I think we've been on opposite sides
multiple tents here at FanFest. The Fox Sports tent back beyond the stage. So
right.
I was hanging out there, Jesus was over there as well. We were just chatting and talking with some fans. And I tell you, and maybe you saw this photograph, I was trying to find a vantage point high up so I could look down into the crowd. And I did tweet out this photograph. And it's just an endless sea of people. You cannot see where the people end.
What you needed to do, you needed to hop onto the zip line like Chance did and go across. But yeah, it's like a rock concert.
Yeah, I went up to the second floor of the D. And the zip liners were streaming right by my ear. But it's just incredible. And, there's some folks who have commented on that tweet that I sent, people who are not in Las Vegas but are hockey people. And just sort of like, oh yeah, hockey in Vegas wasn't going to get any support at all.
There it is.
I tell you, it was really something to see and to hear.
Yeah, and to get locals to come out. I mean that's the thing.
Like on a football Sunday
to come down here. It's been a great event and fun all the way around.
Yeah. Normally, if you see a site like that down here at the Third Street stage, you're looking and going, wow, they must have had a really good band tonight.
Yeah, or it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Well, they all heard Dave Gosher was coming, and then they absolutely showed out to support the TV voice of the Golden Knights.
Well,
and they had
to check out the suit of Shane's.
That's right. Sheriff and his wardrobe is an attraction in itself.
I spoke to Dave about that, and I said, Dave, is it difficult for you to compete with Shane's sock game?
Yeah.
And he was like, not just Nighty. If this has become a thing, Gary Lawless's sock game is strong. Your sock game
yeah,
is strong.
So I've got,
he said his wife had to go out and get him some special fancy socks.
Yeah. Not
so
only
he
that,
could fit in with the crew.
I did consult with Dave on upgrading his pocket square selection. I've got the simple light blue one here today. There it is.
There it is. There you go.
But yeah, that's what it's all about. Dave was in radio for 17 years with the Boston Bruins, the American League on radio before that, but now, TV, it's big time for Dave Gosher.
And we saw Gosher commit the faux pas the other day. He had the striped tie, Frank, with the paisley pocket square.
Oh, well, it's, hey,
by the way, I got to throw this in, too. We're always thinking of promotions. Maybe we need a Golden Knights sock off or something.
Yes.
You're talking.
Because Chris Chapman claims that he's better than all you guys when it comes to the socks.
That's correct.
I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. I have not seen a tie brighter gold than Bill Foley's today. He's got that wardrobe. He's got like a Superman closet with just the same shirt and gold tie just lined up for every day of the week.
And the billion-dollar smile.
Yes. Wow. And for good reason, having the success this club is having and to see the sort of turnout here, it really could not have gone much better through the first 42 games. And you just can't help but wonder what's next. But as Nate Schmidt had told us the other day, and you guys have talked about it as well, as much as we all look towards the postseason and the trade deadline and all that other stuff, the reality is that this group says, hey, we're loving this right now. Why would we want to fast forward through this? These guys recognize what's going on in the moment. And how many times in your life have you lived in a moment and recognized this is the time of my life? And for these players, for most of them, this is going to be the centerpiece of their careers. And for many cases, their lives. Yeah, you've got Marc-Andre Fleury, who's won a few Stanley Cups, and he's closer to the end of his career than his beginning. But this is sort of a second career for him in a way. And especially those guys who are just starting out and bursting onto the scene, whether it's rookies like Shea Theodore and Alex Tuck, those guys who were in their second pro seasons, but their first real sustained NHL time. And then the breakout performers like Carlson and Marchessault, and then even the more experienced guys like Neal and Perron and Fleury. You go down the list, and then that local flavor with Derek Englund. And the personality, you can go down the list, and Nate Schmidt is probably at the top of that list. But it's just –
if you were, you know, at Central Casting and you were looking at the pieces, and how are you going to put all this together in Vegas? Whoever is in charge of that casting should get an A-plus and a raise.
And there's so much truth to what you said of how often do we recognize the most significant moments in our lives as they are happening. And for this team to soak in a day like today, even an overtime loss, and what that environment and what that experience was like on Saturday night, it's just a phenomenal ride. And I like you, man. I don't want to rush this thing away. I don't want to wish time away, because it's been so fun.
Yeah, you're just so much looking forward to whatever is next. Now, if the next thing happens to be a five-day break, sure, there's nothing wrong with looking towards a five-day break, which it was. And about 10 of the players that went down to Mexico looked like fun. And then it's also then looking forward to coming back from that break. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, they had the overtime loss. Now looking forward to what's next. All right, the Fan Fest. Okay, well, that's now completed. What do you look for? All right, back to Nashville, right, where you get to see the Predators for the third time, having already beaten them twice. Then you've got Tampa Bay. And that is a team best in the league. Vegas has already beaten them, but you're going down to Tampa for the first time, and they've just made a couple of roster moves here in the last day or so, injury to Victor Hedman. And then you go on and on. Then you've got the Florida Panthers. Gerard Gallant goes back to Florida for the first time. You know, all of those things, there's no reason to hurry through those stories on the horizon. You just kind of look at what's next and appreciate the story, the moment, as we enjoy it right now. And for us, for, you know, the three of us, you know, we chat after every game, and a good chunk of what's on our mind ends up on the air. But there's also a sense of trying to put it all in context, and from our experiences in having covered sports, finding the stories that might not be on the surface, that are so obvious, but it's kind of digging a little bit deeper and getting to know the participants, the coaches, the players, and sharing those stories. And just today, talking with Brad Hunt, you know, we had interviewed Brad before the game against the Oilers, and in a seven-minute interview, I had not even gotten to one of the topics I wanted to bring up, was that he made his NHL debut with the Edmonton Oilers 4 years ago. So he and I chatted about that today, and, you know, those stories, and I wish we had a little bit more time here to talk about it, but those the roughness of texture, the challenges that have been overcome, the successes not only in the moment but on the grander scale, those are the fun things that we get to see and then relate to the fans who are tuned in. And that's really what makes this exciting for me, and I'm sure for you guys as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too, and I know we are running a little bit short on time, but got to throw this out there, because the one thing that almost kind of makes me laugh, and we talk about it a lot on the show, Clayton, people keep on saying what a tough job George McPhee has coming up here. Is he buyer? Is he seller? Is he this or that? What's he going to do down the long road? I can guarantee you there may not be 30, but there's a heck of a lot of GMs that right now would love to be in George McPhee's place and have to make these tough decisions he has coming up.
I think that's right. And, you know, we were talking about Pete Chiarelli in Edmonton the other day, and, you know, different general managers coming under fire because of, you know, how much money to one particular player. Look what's going on, Bergevin in Montreal, and you lock too much money up with one guy, and, you know, how to approach the salary cap, and look what Steve Yzerman has just done, and a fan favorite, JT Brown, placed on waivers, claimed by the Ducks. Why? Well, just because you've got so many talented young players pushing from the minor leagues, that as much of a contributor JT Brown has been there in Tampa, you've got another wave coming, and replenishing that roster. Sure, Tampa Bay has your Stamkos and Kucherov, but George McPhee at some point is going to have to make some hard decisions. Right now he is not faced with some of those strains, you know, at some point, like Derek Englund's career will end, Marc-Andre Fleury's career will end, at least in Vegas. Those are going to be hard things. Steve Yzerman in Tampa had to deal with Marty St. Louis and Vincent LeCavalier. Those guys, eventually their careers with Tampa Bay ended, but they had so much sentiment from winning the Stanley Cup in 04. The same kind of thing is going to happen eventually here. So not all the decisions that George McPhee makes are going to be popular, but he has to understand that it's not just about being popular. It's about making the best decisions for the franchise, which makes the deadline coming up in February all the more interesting. But, you know, it's a lot easier, I think, given that they are the second-best team in the league, number one in the conference, rather than on the cusp of a playoff spot fighting to get in. And if they were in a playoff spot barely, that would make things even more complicated. But I think it's the roadmap, at least for now, is fairly clear. Not 100% obvious, but it's more clear than I think it would have been otherwise.
All right. Well, Dan, we appreciate the call, the play-by-play that you do and everything you do for us here. Have a safe road trip, and we'll look forward to seeing you come back here on the 23rd when, of course, Columbus and then the Islanders, mm-hmm. and then off on the road for six again. For Clayton Hamilton, for Angel, who's done an exceptional job today, for Ari back in the studio, also doing great work for us here, for Kerry Buchholz, for Dan Duva, for Dave Gosher, for Shane Knighty, for all the players, for Steve Sisolak, too many to name them all. Enjoy the rest of your MLK holiday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 2. And then, of course, Clayton, we've got a game.
Yeah, it's right back at it. We'll be down at Henderson, born and raised. So come on, hang out with us, pregame show and the game as well.
All right. Have a great Martin Luther King holiday. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.